Amen. We're over in Galatians chapter 4. Have you ever heard of Galatians? We're getting through it. I've never preached on this subject today that we're looking at today. I'm calling it the tale of two women. I probably could have called it the tale of two mothers. Before I get into this, while you're looking it up, I have some more statements about America. What happened as a result of the Stamp Act? The Americans licked the British. What kind of tea did the American colonists want? Liberty. That's right. What was the most popular dance in 1776? Independence. What does the Statue of Liberty stand for? It can't sit down. I noticed this week when I was looking at the Statue of Liberty that there's a chain that she's standing on that's broken on her feet. I've never noticed that before until this week, and it sort of fits our message as well. What would you get if you crossed George Washington with cattle feed? The fodder of our country. All right, I'll be careful what else I say. Do you know that John Hancock was the only person? He was the governor of our state twice. He was the only person to actually sign the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776. The other signers didn't sign it until August the 2nd, and some even later than that. But he's the reason we're celebrating on July 4th. Isn't that interesting? Galatians 4. In Galatians 4, Paul is still trying to convince these dear people not to give in to those folks who have been showing up at synagogue on Saturdays with their message of bondage. These teachers, Judaizers, were convinced that anything less than a complete loyalty to their old constitution was spiritual rebellion. Any person who would call himself a Jew, even a Christian Jew, must hold to all the law of Moses, circumcision, all of it. This is what defines us as a people, they thought. It's the only way for us to win God's approval. And Paul was telling them they were wrong. He was saying, no, it's not by our works. It's Christ's works. Are you living life by your works, or are you trying to live life by Christ's works? And he was arguing with them in Galatians from every possible angle, like a lawyer. He had a personal argument from experience in chapter 3, 1 to 5. He says, who bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? He used a scriptural argument in chapter 3, 6 to 14. Abraham's faith should help you see this truth, he argued. He used a logical argument in chapter 3, 15 to 29. But you know what? Logic doesn't always work when people are closed-minded. Have you ever tried to use logic on a junior higher? Doesn't work. He used a dispensational argument, chapter 4, 1 through 11, a child and his temporary appointed guardian. And then he uses a sentimental argument. We looked at this last week, chapter 4, 12 to 18, where he says, you've hurt me deeply. I'm perplexed by you. And what we look at this morning is this final argument. This is the allegorical argument, chapter 4, 19 to 31. I'm not going to read all of those verses, but I'm going to read verse 22. And you're going to want to look down through those scriptures as we talk this morning because you'll want to follow along. But let me read for you verse 22 right now. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. Now he's pulling out all of his stops here. Do you know freedom is worth talking about? It certainly is worth celebrating, right? Right, Mal? You celebrated all yesterday, still recovering. It's worth telling our kids about. You know, to misunderstand or to be ignorant of our freedom is pretty much takes the joy out of having it at all. The 4th of July was coming up, and the nursery school teacher took the opportunity to tell her class about patriotism. We live in a great country, she said. One of the things we should be happy about is that in this country, we are all free. And one little boy came walking up to her from the back of the room, and he stood with his hands up on his hips, and he said, "I'm not free, I'm four." God has called us into freedom through His Son, Christ. You and I can now come out from under the law. Jesus really has set us free. He's the key to all of this. Do you really want to be obliged to whatever the law requires in order to win God's approval? Paul's saying to these Galatians, you don't seem to understand what the law says. I'm going to try to explain this to you this morning. I said to the guys that meet on Saturday mornings that we're going to preach on a riddle today. And Nick looked at me like, riddle? Is there a riddle in the Bible? It really feels like it when you look down through these verses. Abraham had two sons by two different women, and you need to know the story. One by his wife's servant. She was a slave woman. Her name was Hagar. And the second by his wife. She was the free woman, according to the Bible, Sarah. Sarah and Abraham were promised by God that they would have a son in Genesis 17. Only God could pull that off. It was going to be a miracle. In Genesis 21, verse 2, Sarah finds herself pregnant just as God had promised. Abraham was, get this, 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. Isaac, their son, was certainly not born in the ordinary way. Okay? He was born according to the promise. Isaac is born according to the promise, okay? When he was born, he was greeted by his older 14-year-old brother. Did you know that? If you compare Genesis 16:16 to Genesis 21:5, you'll figure that out. There's a story there too. Because Sarah and Abraham had grown impatient with God and doubted his promises, she encouraged her husband to have a son with her maid, Hagar. Hagar was the, if Sarah was the free woman, Hagar was the what? Slave woman. Right. All right. Now, this was permitted. It wasn't normal. But Hagar was a slave. So Sarah could actually have her son through her slave, the slave woman. Ishmael was not the son of the promise. Who was the son of the promise? Isaac, all right. Abraham and Sarah's impatience actually held up God's promise to them by 14 years. But because Ishmael was Abraham's first son, now listen to me here, Ishmael was the father of who? I heard somebody. The Muslims, the Arab world, all of the Arab world come down through Ishmael, Abraham's first son. He wasn't the son according to the promise, though. He was a son according to the ordinary way. All right? Interesting. Okay. Paul's using this old argument to say to the Galatians something. So follow me here. Because he was Abram's first son, who was? Ishmael. God considered him a person of value. So he was given some privileges. We have an honorable God. He gave, even with this mistake, even with this problem, God gave to this man some privileges. Maybe not the kind of privileges that you and I would want to have. If you look over in Genesis 16, let me read this to you. All right. Genesis 16, starting at verse 9. Then the angel of the Lord told her, this is Hagar here, go back to your mistress and submit to her. She had run away. She had taken off. I can't handle it anymore. You go back to her. And the angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. Who else did the angel say that to? Or about? Yeah, he said to Abraham about his son Isaac. All right. Isaac hadn't even been born yet here. All right. Then the angel of the Lord also said to her, now you are now with child, and you will have a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. Huh, that's interesting. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. How would you like to have that as a heritage? All right, that's the promise that he was going to be given. And she gave this name to her son, Ishmael. Return to your mistress. Now verse 23 makes sense when we read it here in this scripture. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of the promise. The two women represent two contractual agreements with God. The ordinary way or according to the promise. One is from Mount Sinai, it says in verse 25. By the way, what's that have to do with anything? That's part of the riddle almost. Hagar is another way of saying Mount Sinai. Translates Mount Sinai. Isn't that interesting in the Hebrew? It's a place where Moses received the Ten Commandments. This woman bears children who are born slaves. Every time she has a child, that child is born a slave. She's a slave, and so are her children. And this corresponds with present city of Jerusalem, Paul says. And the reason for that is Jerusalem was the center of Judaism. And they live and they die by focusing on the Mosaic law. All right? Do I have a... Not yet. Yeah, put the next slide up. All right. Here's Hagar. Here's Ishmael. She's a slave woman. He's born in the ordinary way. There's Mount Sinai. See that? All right, right there. Thank you. Now, Sarah, she represents the mother who is free, the other mother. Hagar serves her. Hagar is the slave. Sarah is the one in charge. She's the free woman. And her children are also free. Every time Sarah has a child, her child will be free. These are people who are not owned. And she's part of the Jerusalem that is above. Okay. Verse 26 calls it Mount Zion. Hebrews 12:22 tells us that as believers, this is wonderful, we have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. She represents all that. And then Paul continues his story here. He tells of a time when the son born of the flesh, Ishmael, was throwing sticks to the son born by the power of the Spirit, Isaac. Let me read for you Genesis 21, 9 and 10. All right, it says, but Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar, the Egyptian, had born to Abraham was mocking. All right, that's where I get the idea that she's throwing sticks at him. All right, it's not going good in the household. You got a 14-year-old here tossing the baby around, stealing his rattle. All right, and as they get older, it got worse. And I want you to know that wasn't going to be tolerated. You look at verses 10 and 11. Oh, I got to go back to Genesis 21 again here. Genesis 1, 21, 10 and 11. Listen to what happens here. And she said to Abraham, this is Sarah now, because her son's being picked on, get rid of that slave woman and her son. For that slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. That's true. She never would. She's a slave woman. She's not a free woman. And then Paul tells the Romans in his letter to them, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That's an 8. Verse 9. In chapter 9, verse 8, it says, through Isaac, your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise who are regarded as descendants. What's to be our response to all this? Where do we stand this morning? Are you children of the flesh or children of the Spirit? Which would you like to be? Kind of like to be the children of the Spirit. I want to be children of the promise. Paul's saying to the Galatians, you are. For Christ's sake, you are. Now live like you are. That's what he was saying to them. What does Scripture say Abraham did with that confusion maker in the family? Do you remember what he did? He sent her off with the boy. He sent her off. God said, listen to your wife, and he sent her off. Sometimes we need to cast some things off. Sometimes life gets so complicated, sometimes we let the laws control us to the point where we can actually get in trouble. I grew up in a time when there were those in the church who told us you couldn't swim on Sunday. It's because I'm old, all right? You remember, huh? Some of you remember that? Yeah. Couldn't swim on Sunday. Is anybody going to be in your pool today, Mal? Yeah. All right. That was a sin when I grew up. I was told, when I grew up, you couldn't ride in the car on Sunday afternoons. There were people that looked down on that. You can't go take a ride on Sunday afternoons. When I grew up, I'm telling you how old I was now, you can't play with cards on Sunday. You can't play with cards, not just Sunday, anytime. I know a fella that lived on this road. He's died now. He said, I remember going up to Alton Bay, New Hampshire. And my father had a cottage right there on the hill, right near where your family was. He had a cottage there. And one day, the board members saw him playing cards and came into the house and told him. I'm a board member up there. I wasn't alive back then, probably. They gave him the riot act. And he didn't want to be there at the cottage anymore. It changed everything. The law was taken over here. If you want to please God, we were told, don't do those kinds of things. A pastor discovered one Sunday morning that the roads were blocked and the only way he could reach church was to skate on the river, which he did. When he arrived, the elders of the church were horrified that their preacher should skate on the Sabbath. After service, they had a meeting, and he explained that it was either to skate or not to get there. And finally, one asked, "Did you enjoy it?" And when the young man said no, they decided it was all right. Paul rests his case here. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we're not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. We are not citizens of the Jerusalem of the Jews. We're part of the Jerusalem that is above." In Philippians 3, it tells us in verse 20, I love this. Listen to me here now. If you're a follower of Christ this morning, our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into his glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. He's got power to bring an entire world out from under a legalistic master, the law. It's not what we do or don't do, but what we put our faith in, who we put our faith in. Amen? John 3:6 says, Jesus says, flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit to the spirit. Don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. I looked that phrase up. I've heard this to be true. Born again, if you look it up in the Greek, it literally means born from above. Sons of the promise, daughters of the promise. Power to bring a sorry, no good for nothing. A man unable to keep any of the religious laws to a T. The power to lift me up high enough to see that faith is the key that allows me to join his eternal family. The power to transform a defeated heart into a heart of hope and peace. Perhaps that's the greatest power of all, where we can have peace in this world, where we can have peace in the midst of whatever we're going through because of Christ. That's power. That's freedom. That's freedom worth celebrating. The persecution and the harassment is the same now, Paul says in verse 29. What's happening in your church, Paul says in Galatia? This is the same kind of harassment. Ishmael is still throwing sticks, okay, at Isaac. How are you trying to live for God this morning? Are you trying the best you can? Are you attempting to make your own righteousness? Are you trying to do it without reading the Bible? Are you trying to come up with your own set of rules to placate God? Can I say to you, in the name of Jesus, stop it. Learn instead to live the new life he has given you through faith in his Son. Relax, and let Jesus show you how to live this life. This is a life that we all want. It's the life God made for us to enjoy and celebrate. We've been lied to, Paul says. Folks will try to distract us from this. They'll give us excuses to miss out on what Jesus has for us. It's time to put an end to the foolishness and the ignorance. What did Abraham do finally with the confusion? Sent it away. Sometimes you have to send it away. Oswald Chambers says, I do need one of those pieces of paper. Men pour themselves into creeds, and God has to blast them out of their prejudices before they can be devoted to Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? Stop tolerating the harassment. You're God's kids. Send it away. Someone might say, I don't know if I can or not. Do you need to have Jesus send it away for you? Jesus knew how to do that. He looked at Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. We're getting rid of this thing. He can do that for you as well. He has. You're children of the promise. Amen. It is sort of a riddle till you go down through and start separating. Oh, I see what that means now. I'm glad that he showed us that. Let's celebrate around his table together this morning. This is for all of you who are children of the promise, and you know it. If you don't know it, I encourage you not to take this. Not a good idea. This is for those who are part of the children of the promise. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my body which is broken for you. I'm going to give this to you in the name of the Lord Jesus." As you receive it, celebrate the fact that he has bought you and brought you into his family. You're part of the descendants of Abraham through Isaac. Jesus said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Wow. What a privilege is ours. Each and all of it. It really has nothing to do with our righteousness. Paul said our righteousness is like filthy rags. Has everything to do with his. And he's given it to us. It's ours. He bought it. It's ours by faith. Wow. Let's celebrate that together as we receive the blood together. Emblem of Christ, shed blood. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. Worship you, Almighty God. There's none like you. None like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace, That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, O mighty God. There is none like you. There isn't. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. Grace versus works. Paul's trying to show us this morning, it's by grace that we're saved. When you believe that, you understand how important this is. When His blood was shed on the cross for you, all the works were taken care of. All of the things that you ever needed to accomplish to make God happy took place when Jesus died on that cross for you. All of the things that you needed to stay away from were done when Jesus died on the cross for you at that point. Hallelujah. Paul says, enjoy that. Don't go out trying to impress God anymore. You don't need to do that. Without the remission of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Because His blood was shed, your sins and mine have been taken care of. Let's celebrate our freedom together because of Jesus. Amen. Let's go out and live this week as if we're children of the promise and not children of the slave woman. We're free. We'll always be that. If we remember that, let's hold on to what He's given to us in Christ. Amen? Amen. Hug somebody on the way out. Have a great July 4th, and we'll see you next week, Lord willing.